text 51551 today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
And you can text us to 51551 or email miriam@rte.ie. Well, a few weeks ago, we received a letter into the show. It was an old-fashioned handwritten letter from a priest called Father Doyle near Naas in County Kildare. And he wrote to us describing how he's currently driving a group of siblings from a homeless family to school every morning and every afternoon in his own car because there's no other way to get the children to school. Well, our Evelyn O'Rourke visited Father Jim Doyle and went on one of his school runs with him. Morning, Evelyn. Introduce us to Father Doyle, if you will. Where did you meet him?
Well, I went along to meet him, Miriam, at his parochial home in Kildare in Kildare, quite near the town of Prosperous there. And he told me that for over a year now, his daily routine has involved him leaving his home at about 20 to 8 to go to the place where this family is living. He picks up the secondary school pupils, drives them to the nearest bus pickup point, and then he goes, says Mass at 9, and then straight after Mass, he returns to the family site and picks up the youngest child and drives them to primary school.
And he then collects one of the children at the end of the school day and brings them home too.
That's right. He goes about his duties for the day and then he returns to collect the younger child and bring them home. And he says, you know, this endless commitment, it is taking a huge toll on him, but he won't stop because he's passionate about the children pursuing their education and he's passionate about securing better accommodation for them. And if he doesn't do this, no service is in place to help. The children, he's worried, will drop out of school, and that is why he wrote to us. And he says the school principals and others, counsellors, have been really, really supportive, but the family seems to fall between stools and they all think at this point that they're banging their head against a wall.
So, Evan, you met up with Father Doyle and you went in the car with him to see this routine in action. Describe the morning's timetable to us.
Well, when I arrived, he was just finishing Mass, so I hopped into the car with him as he set off to pick up that younger child to bring them to school. So here we are, setting off in his car, and he explains more to me, Miriam, about the history of this area.
We're outside the parish in Kildare. When they went to build a church here, there was no site in the village, so they moved to Cooleira here, which is the town's land. And they built a church here in 1965. It was my uncle, actually, was a parish priest in Clane at the time that built the church here.
Your own uncle?
Coincidentally, yeah.
Is he to blame for the choice of career?
Probably, yes, probably. Yeah, we're farmers. I'm from South Carlow, yeah, we're Carlow. But a year and a half ago, Joe Lacey's principal here in Kildare rang me one morning to say that the mother came, they had five children, and she said her husband had taken his own life and they had moved down here. And they had rented two mobile homes just across the road, where we'll see later on. And one had enrolled here in Kildare, and two had enrolled in Prosperous post-primary school. But they had stopped going to school. Apparently had a car and the car had been taken from them. So when I visited the two mobile homes down, and we'll see later on, she told me the whole story. And I came back and Catherine, myself, the parish secretary, we tried to get them school transport, but we didn't succeed. There was no bus passing that way. They didn't qualify for school transport. So I contacted a local bus company, Jacobus, and they were very, very helpful. They said they would bring the two to Prosper Secondary School, provided someone brought them down. So on 40, I was left bringing the kids to school, which I've been doing for the past year or more. And I tried unsuccessfully, despite many visits to a special school. I wasn't able to get two boys into school. One of them now is 17. He hasn't been to school. And one comes here each day. There's a special teacher for him. Comes from 11.
You organise that as well?
Yeah, we organise that, yeah. Yeah. They're lovely kids. They're getting on very well in school. And a number of county councillors obviously have been very, very helpful to us in trying to locate a home in Martin Hayden. They all have been very, very helpful in trying. But so far, we haven't been able to. They're living in very poor conditions. We've had problem over the summer with rats, we have a problem with sewerage, and the principal there, Joe Lacey, has been very, very helpful at as Prosperous post-primary school. The real problem is if we could get a home for them near a school so that they can go to school on their own steam.
Father Doyle, he sounds such a kind man. Now, he says that the family at the heart of this are very vulnerable and that's why he's lending this support to them. Tell us more, Evelyn.
That's right, Miriam. I mean, as he was saying there, their children are living with their mother. The father committed suicide a number of years ago and they had been living nearer Dublin, but for various reasons, the mother felt she had to leave the area to protect her children, so they moved to Kildare and they are registered as homeless and they live in those mobile homes and there's no running water, proper electricity, and the site is up a long, windy kind of country road. No public transport, so again, the children's access to everything is very restricted.
So what do the children themselves have to say to you?
Well, the younger child was a dote, really bubbly, loved school. In fact, the children I met were fantastic, very impressive, smart kids, and you can see why Father Doyle is so keen for them to continue at school. And the younger child says they hate where they live because of the location, but they're loving school, especially reading and English. So I also got to speak with the principal there, Joe Lacey, who says he's deeply frustrated at this situation. He's been supporting all of the siblings as they try to access services, but he's finding it nearly impossible. And he says, look, it's clear the children have thrived since regular routines and education has been offered to them. And he says this situation with the priest driving the children is unsustainable and unsatisfactory, but that they have few options. So here, after we've dropped the child off to school, I speak to the principal, Joe Lacey.
So the first point of contact for me was when the children's mum came to the school. She just moved into the area, had been to a number of other schools, and there was no availability of places. We were full as well, but it was such a tough situation that the mum appeared to be in that we did take the child on board.
So in terms of the challenge that this kind of situation presents for a school, you're dealing with a child who's living in very vulnerable circumstances. Even the way the child is coming to school is very unusual. Talk to me about the duty of care that you have towards a child like that.
Well, I mean, the first instance is that, you know, it's very important that this child has an education, and we are doing everything we can to support that. We have tried various means via official Tuusula channels and through our own bus system, which brings children to our ASD classes, but have been kind of hit at a block at every way in terms of trying to get access to get this child to school. Mum is making huge efforts to have her children in education, but it's just proven difficult to physically get this child on site, which was why Father Doyle got involved, just to simply get the child here.
So what you're saying is this family is presented with a number of challenges, and they're failing to access the service they need to get this family up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amount was talking about attendance strategies, campaign out the Strive for Five, like, it's laudable. But how do you support people who don't have access? They're living down the end of a fairly inaccessible road. I believe you were there earlier today. Walking isn't an option. Public bus transport doesn't serve that particular area. You know, it makes things quite difficult for a mum to get children here.
Now, I know one of the concerns was around the child protection issue of this, of him driving these children in the car. Obviously something that you'd be concerned about as well. But the child will lose out on education if somebody doesn't put them in a car and bring them here.
Yep, as simple as that.
How frustrating is that for you?
Well, it's very frustrating, because having all these campaigns, when you have someone who is trying so hard just for their children to access education, to be met with so many blocks, it's very frustrating.
Principal Joe Lacey there. You then, Evelyn, went to speak to the mum of the family back at the caravan. Describe that to us.
That's right. I was in the car with Father Jimmy when he turned into the site, and the situation really was quite shocking. Traveller family there living in the mobile homes at the back, with electricity cables running across the ground in through the windows of the mobile home. And it's old fashioned. It's full of plug-in heaters. The mum and the youngest share a bed. We were sitting on the beds with the other two children during the interview, and the older girls sleep at the back. However, I have to say the place is kept immaculately. Father Doyle says they've really tidied up the place since moving in, but it is cramped, it is grim, and it's hard to see how people can live there, especially at winter time. Now, there have been social workers on site, and the mother says she has excellent key workers and is keen to make that point, but she says they dream of getting a home. However, you know, the housing list, and I've spoken to Kildare County Council about this, their housing list is as long as everywhere else. They have as many people waiting, you know, to get homes as any other local authority. So the mum says that the next step is potentially a space in a hub, and she says they will take that if they're offered it. But here's us turning onto the site. You'll hear our descriptions, Miriam, and then the mum talks more about their living circumstances. So we're just turning in here now. This is the turn in where the family is.
This site now obviously is not suitable for anyone to be living in or near, even.
Oh. Okay. They live here?
They live here, yes. That's terrible. Nobody should be living here, really, and these mobiles shouldn't be here, really, because they're not properly connected to ESB or sewerage. It's a hopeless situation, really, absolutely hopeless. They bought a little swimming pool during the summer.
A little and kind of paddling pools, yeah.
The first morning there was a rat in it, dead in it. Social workers have been calling.
And what do they make of the situation?
They should keep in touch with us, but we haven't heard anything.
And oh, you have not seen progress since then?
No.
Well, let's go out and say hello. How are you? Do you want me to come in?
Yeah.
I just want to hear, you know, what do you want to happen here?
And I can't be pending on Father Jim being helping me all the time. But it's not fair on him, because he could be doing other jobs, you see. So it's all I want, the house up again, the school and the bus stops for me. There's no central heating in here. I have this electric heater. I have that oil heater. So everything is boarded up. It's like a fire hazard, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I just saw like cables running everywhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah, the water is running everywhere to all the bedrooms. And so we only use the one sink to wash ourselves, and there's just one toilet here. There's no shower working.
School is very important to you.
Yeah, school is very important, because I hadn't got much school when I was growing up myself. I was mostly babysitting all the time. So I'd like to see my children get an education. I've been in with welfare. I've been in with all the people that I'm talking to. They all said, like, they're going to have a meeting about putting me in a place called The Hub.
How do you feel about a hub?
I feel bad about The Hub, but I have no other choice. Like, and I'm living in this mobile and, like, the children are getting sick all the time.
And how do you keep going?
Well, I'll have to keep going for my children because no one else is going to help me with them. So just, that's the only thing keeps me going is my children.
And Evelyn, reaction from agencies?
Well, I got in touch with TUSLA and they say the TUSLA Education Support Service, work closely with families and advocate on their behalf. And, you know, most or the agents would say that they won't comment on individual cases, but they did say that school transport is managed by the Department of Education and that TESS staff advocate on behalf of families applying for school transport and that through their homeschool community liaison scheme and school competition completion programme, they provide additional support to students and parents experiencing homelessness, you know, the provision of breakfast and things like that. But they concluded by saying that it's important to note that TESS is an advocate support service and advocates on behalf of families to receive additional support when required. However, it is not a financial assistance service. In terms of the Department of Education, Miriam, they say that the purpose of the transport scheme is having regard to available resources to support the transport to schools and that under the terms of the school, children are eligible for school transport where they satisfy the distance criteria, 3.2 kilometres at primary and 4.8 at post-primary and are attending their nearest schools. However, in this case, where the mobile homes are located is just at the edge of those distance perimeters, so they don't qualify.
Now, Father Doyle clearly believes he's doing the right thing here by driving the children to school, but there are potential child protection issues involved in the situation. You address this with him.
Yes, Mary says he has no interest in doing this every day, but feels he has no choice and that he has contacted anyone and everyone for help. But as most children walk to the primary school, they don't have a bus in the area that would be suitable, and there's no other way of getting the child there because the family don't have a car. Now, he says that he's had advice to stop, but he says that he knows if he stops, the children will drop out and he can't let that happen. And he wants them to get a very good housing provision set up. And he says he knows he's taking risk. He was very open about it, but he feels he has little choice. He said he hadn't wanted to go public about this, Miriam. He's very shy and very modest man. Mm. But he says, look, I've run out of road and I want support. And that's why he wrote to us. So here Father Doyle and I are in the car returning to the parochial house. And he describes the toll that this commitment is taking on him.
My own work is suffering, really. I can't keep doing this, you know. I have other things that I ought to be doing, and health-wise and everything. It's a stress, really, every day.
And you feel very strongly that if you don't do this run, what we're doing right now, those children won't get to school?
No. No, they will stop going. And that would be a terrible pity now, because nice kids are getting on very well in school, and they're very mannerly. The busman says that they are the most mannerly kids on the bus. But they have to be picked up. They can't walk the mile and a half. And the youngest would have to walk much, much further, obviously. I have never spoken about it at Mass, nor I haven't looked for help or anything like that. I was trying to keep it kind of low-key.
And why didn't you ask for that help, do you think?
I just maybe didn't come across suitable people or people who were free at that time of morning or that time of evening.
Every day, twice a day, you're locked into this routine?
Yeah. It's not ideal now, it's anything but ideal, really. It's a terrible drag, but I just believe so passionately in education, and if I could keep them going, it would be the end of this traveller family, really. They would move on and they would be able to get jobs for themselves.
Take your time there, now your man's flying along with me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going straight through this junction here.
Yeah.
One of the things you mentioned to me was around the child protection issues.
I really shouldn't be doing it at all. I realise the protection regulations, and it's a risk, a big risk. That's the reason I'm trying to finish up, really, if I can. But I'm determined as well to try and keep them going to school for as long as I can. And I'm hoping that I get a house for them nearest school so that they won't need me or anybody, that they won't need any public transport to get them to school.
Thanks so much, Evelyn. Oh, he sounds a wonderful man, Father Doyle. I'm joined now by Cindy Joyce, who's of course a member of the travelling community and also a member of the Council Estate. Morning, Cindy. Listen, first of all, your reaction to that story there from Evelyn about those five children who want to stay in school. It seems they're being let down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They are being let down, Miriam. Good morning. I suppose I am horrified to hear the story of this young family, and I suppose their circumstances are horrendous, and I suppose they would be lost without people like Father Doyle. Father Doyle sounds like a wonderful man who are helping the family, but it just shows. I suppose this family's situation just shows how Minker families across Ireland are living without services and away from. I suppose. built up society. And I suppose if you look at this family in particular, in Ace, and we look at all the strategies that are in place that are supposed to be there to help the community, they're not working when on the ground for people that are in these vulnerable situations. If we look at the National Traveller and Roma Inclusion Strategy, for example, we can see within that recommendations for the community to continue in education and to go forward in education, but also to get better accommodation situations. And we can see that this family is living in a situation that they shouldn't be living in. They have been suffering from very difficult times, including the husband dying of suicide. And we can see that mental health is high in our community. We can see that the suicide is 7 times higher the rate of the general population. And we can see that a lot of the mental health issues, what affect mental health issues, are things like people living in dire circumstances like this particular family.
And Cindy, when I have you there this morning, before I let you go, what's your reaction to the terms that have been used by the Fianna Fáil Senator, Lorraine Clifford-Lee, about the travelling community?
I am disgusted at her comments. I think that she should step down, and I think that to have public representatives in positions that represent communities shouldn't have attitudes like that. And I know that the comments were made 8 years ago, but those 8 years ago she was still a 30-year-old woman, and that was a solicitor, and but she was also part of the Fianna Fáil National Executive. And I think that a mistake is one tweet perhaps and apologise, but it wasn't a mistake when we can see that it's a barrage of tweets after tweets. And not only were they racist slurs that she mentioned, like the words pikey and knacker. Pikey is used particularly in the UK, whereas knacker is used particularly in Ireland, and they're racial terms refer to the community as inferior. And we can see that her comments are not particularly helpful for young children in the Minka community, particularly in school when they're hearing these words continuously. We can see that would also affect mental health. So I don't think she should be in the position she's in.
Okay, well listen, as ever, Cindy Joyce, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Just to say, other declared candidates in Dublin, Fine Gael, where obviously Lorraine Clifford-Lee is standing, include Dr. James Riley from Fine Gael, Anne Graves, Sinn Féin, Tracy Carey, Social Democrats, Duncan Smith, Labour, Joe Bryan, Green Party, Dean Mulligan, Independence for Change, and Independent Gemma O'Doherty. And now we go straight over to our newsroom and Brian Jennings.